ಜಯಂ ಶುಪಾಲ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಜನಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಶರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾನಂದ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯಂ ನಿತ್ಯಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾಲ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಜನಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾನಂದ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಅನಂತಮೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಗುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಮಧುರಮುನಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಮುನಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಮುನಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಗಂಗಾ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಾ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸೀದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಂ ಶುಭದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತ ವೇದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಪಾಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಪೋದಿತಾಂ ಭಗವತಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಕೃತಿನಾಂ ಪುರಾಣಮುನಿನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯೆ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣಿ ಭಗವತಿ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನಿ ಅಂಬತ್ವಾ ಮನಸಂ ದದಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೆ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣಿ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ವ್ಯಾಸವಿಶಾಲ ಬುದ್ಧೇ ಪುಲ್ಲಾರವಿಂದಾಯನ ಪತ್ರನೇತ್ರ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯಾ ಭಾರತ ತೈಲಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿತೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಬಾಲಿಜಾದಾಯ ತೋತ್ರವೇ ತ್ರೈಗವಾನೇ ಜ್ಞಾನ ಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತ ದುಹೇ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವೋಪನಿಷದೋ ಗಾವೋ ದೋತ್ತಾ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವರಿಸು ಸುಧೀರ್ಭೋಕ್ತಾ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಮ ಸುದೇವ ಸುಧಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸಚಾಣೂರಮರ್ದನಂ ದೇವಗೀ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಗದ್ಗುರುಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣತಟಾಧೇಂದ್ರಜಲಾಂಧಾರನೀಲೋಲ್ಪಲಶಲ್ಯಗ್ರಾಹವರೀಕೃಪೇಣೋಹರಿ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಕುಲ ಅಶ್ವಥಾಮಿಕರ್ಣಘೋರಮಗರಾಜುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿ ಸೋತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲು ಪಾಂಡವೈರಣ ನದಿ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವ ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಲ ಸರೋಜಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕಡಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನಗೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಗದಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾಬೋಧಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನಷಲ್ಪದೈರಹರಃ ಪೀಡೀಯಮಾನಂ ಮುದಾ ಭೂಯಾತ್ ಭಾರತ ಮಂಗಲ ಕಲಿಮಲ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸಿನ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ ಮೋಗಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಗೋವಿಂದನಾಮಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಸರ್ವಧರ್ಮಾನ್ ಪರಿತ್ಯಜ್ಯ ಮಾಮೇಕಂ ಶರಣಂ ವ್ರಜ ಅಹಂ ತ್ವಾಂ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮೋಕ್ಷಯಿಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಮಾ ಶುಚ. ಎ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಬೋತ್ ಶ್ರೀ ವೈಷ್ಣವಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಅದ್ವೈತೀಸ್ ದೇ ಆಲ್ ಟೇಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಎಸ್ ಅ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯಂ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತ ಲೈಕ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯಂ ಸಹಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸ್ಮಿ ತತ್ವಮಸಿ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿಚಾರ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯಂಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್. ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯಂ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಬೋತ್ ಅದ್ವೈತೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಶ್ರೀ ವೈಷ್ಣವಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ವೇ ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ಸರ್ವವೇದಾಂತ ವಿಹಿತಂ ಸಮ್ಯಕ್ ದರ್ಶನಂ ಮೋರ್ ಆರ್ ಲೆಸ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೆ ಇಸ್ ಫಿನಿಶಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಿಗ್ಯಾನ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ ವಿತ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಅಶೋಚ್ಯಾನ್ ಅನ್ಯಶೋಚಸ್ತ್ವಂ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾವಾದಾಂಶ್ಚ ಭಾಷಸೆ ಇನ್ ದೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಗದಾಸೂನ ಗದಾಂಶೋಚ್ಯ ನಾನು ಶೋಚಂತಿ ಪಂಡಿತ ರೈಟ್. So the more or less this verse is the end of that verse, in the sense there he talked about shucha, ashochyan anyashochastvam. Don't lament, he said to Arjuna, isn't it? Ashochyan anyashochastvam prajnavadamscha bhashase gadasu negadamsumscha nanishochanti pandita. Here also Krishna is saying mokshayishyami ma shucha, don't cry, don't cry. There he began with that, ashochyan anyashochastvam. So so shokam means distress or crying or lamentation should not happen, Mahakrishi. You have to get out of that lamentation. How is that possible? For that he said, sarva dharman parityajya, which includes dharmam as well as adharmam, both. Not only give up dharmam, but then you leave adharmam, that is no good. Both dharmam and adharmam you have to give up. Yeah. So, sarva dharman sarvecha te dharmacha sarva dharmatan dharma shabdena atra adharma abigrihyate naishkarmyasya vivakshitatval na virato duscharidhal teja dharmam adharmam cha ityadi shruti smrutibhya. Ajaya Swamiji quoted here from Kathopanishad, na virato duscharidhal and teja dharmam adharmam cha in the Mahabharatam Shanti Parvam ityadi shruti smrutibhya. Basically, it is referring to naishkarmyam stage. Neither dharmam nor adharmam, but naishkarmyam. That is what is spoken here. Shruti and Smriti also speaks in the same way. Then, sarvadharman parityajya sanyasya sarvakarmani iti edan mam egam sarvalpanam samam sarvabhodavastidam ishwaram achyudam garbha janma jaramarana varjitam aham eva iti evam akam sharanam raja na matta anyadasti iti avadharaya ityartaha. After giving all karma, sarva karma, one should take shelter of Ishvara, what he has spoken before, one who is present in everyone and one who does not have one who does not, is not born like we are through the womb of a mother, and one who does not have birth or death, referring to Ishvara. And nothing exists separately from him. Bhagavad Gita is a very subtle subject. As you get it through it, you will start realizing it, how subtle Bhagavad Gita is, what Krishna has spoken here. The many things here, actually it's very difficult to explain it also, because unless you have that deep realization of these verses, right? In Prakriti, all dharmam, dharmam, the word itself is, you can say one way the characteristics of the Prakriti. Prakriti is dharma. Right? For example, body is concerned, birth, death, old age and disease is a dharmam attached to the body. You can't do anything about it. That means Prakriti has set it up like that. Prakriti has set up our body in that way. No point in fighting this. Therefore, Prakriti has already set it up in that way. Trying to fight it out is no use. It won't work. It simply won't work, isn't it? So, recognizing that is good intelligence. That Prakriti is like this. There is no, it's not in my hands. Prakriti has given me a body like this. There's nothing much you can do about it. It will go its own way, come, and it will go its own way. The way it has come, the way it will go also, in the same way. So, the body is dharmam, you know what that is, the six different changes. What happens, isn't it? Janmam, astitvam, viranimam, viparinamam, abhakshiyade, nasham. Like that, all the vardhada, vardhanam, that all six things. What happens to the body, which Prahlada has spoken and in many other places as well. Similarly, they are all dharmam of the body. Body must go through these things. It is mandatory. You can't do anything about it. So good intelligence is to see all these things and accept it rather than trying to fight against whole life, against that. Similarly, the dharmam of the mind is chittavritti. Similarly, ragadvesham. Similarly, kamam, krodham, all the emotions, different kinds of emotions, all of that. Pranam's dharmam is hunger, thirst. This is all pranam's dharmam, right? Buddhi's dharmam is knowing things, then forgetting things, and then affects the body in many other ways. For example, desires come, buddhi will evaluate that, and things like that. Right. Then dharmam of ahankaram is that I am that dharma. That is ahankaram's dharma. To keep us always thinking that I am a person, I am an individual, that thought. Keeping it us inside life. That is ahankaram, what that does that. So ahankara dharma, buddhi dharma, mano dharma, and prana dharma, sharira dharma, all these are already established, set it up like that by the prakriti. And there is nothing you can do about these things. It will happen in its own way. Like you can see in the three modes of nature. What is in the difficult thing here is that unless you understand what Krishna is saying, you won't really get it. What when you read Bhagavad Gita, right? And it takes time to understand. For example, three modes of material nature. Three modes of material nature is present in everything. And three modes of material nature, we'll realize that sattvagunam is important, and rajogunam and tamogunam one should avoid, all that. And people think that sattvagunam is an important factor in spiritual life, all those things. But then Krishna is saying, all these three modes of nature is not real. You see, on the one side, we talk about all these things, importance of three modes of material nature, how three modes of material nature affects a person, things like that. But then Krishna also says, three modes of material nature is not real. And he's right, because it's coming from Maya. Maya is not real. So three modes of material nature is also not real. Then what are we fighting against? This question will come, isn't it? So that is why understanding Bhagavad Gita in a subtle level takes time. You have to keep on thinking about this. On one side he will say one thing, another side he will say another way. How do you connect these two? That's the important part. Three modes of material nature we know is everywhere, in everything. Varnashram dharmam is based on that. And our activities are all based on that. Our life is completely based on three modes of material nature. And then Krishna is saying that these three modes of material nature is not real. And he said, Arjuna also, you don't have to stay in these three modes of nature. Nistraigunya bhava Arjuna, he says. Traigunya vishaya vedal, nistraigunya bhava Arjuna. Even the Vedam is under three modes, but you have to become free from the three. You are not in the three modes. How to compromise all these things? That is the difficulty. Similarly, this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is also under the effect of the three modes. Right? Also under the effect of the three modes. So, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, accordingly these three modes exist in us. So, you can see, you have to see the effect on the body and the mind, what is happening from there. For example, you can understand this, that in the morning you are very receptive, isn't it? Whatever shastram, best time is study shastram is in the early hours in the morning. There is no doubt about that. What is the reason for that? Why is that morning hours is beneficial to study shastram? Not the evening hours and afternoon and all that. Evening program, useless. Morning program, best. Why is it so? The reason for that is, in Sushupti, you had association with Krishna. in Sushupti. And you have just left him when you come out from Sushupti. So therefore, from Sushupti, you will always fall back into Sattvagunam. And it is that Sattvagunam what you are having in the morning is what you have got from the Sushupti when you had connection with Krishna. Because Sushupti means you are very close to self-realization. That is why that happiness what you got in Sushupti, there is no substitute for that. There is no substitute for that. You cannot substitute with any other happiness what we get in Sushupti. So when you come out of Sushupti, even though you have woken up, still the effect of that Sushupti has not totally left us. And that is why morning hours, when you come up from the sleep, the first few hours is more of Sattvagunam, because from Sushupti you fall into Sattvam straight away. And in that Sattvagunam you are more receptive to what you hear. And you will, mind is peaceful. Not much Chittavritti at that time. It's not, you must have observed all these things yourself. And then later on Karmam begins. Rajogunam comes in, then get entangled with that karmam. Rajogunam means thoughts keeps coming, disturbed mind, thoughts, actions begin, everything. By then the Sattvagunam slowly withdraws. So these three gunams throughout the day is in everybody playing it in different ways, right? Sometimes one gunam will dominate over the other, but three gunams always come and no gunam will stay permanent. Everything will come and go, come and go, come and go, like that. And then by evening time, by a lot of Rajogunam has happened, naturally the next thing will be Tamogunam. So Tamogunam comes in the evening, and you can't do very much in the evening then. In the evening, whatever you do is not spiritually very effective, in other words. Yeah. So these dharmam and these rules prevails always. And it's no point in trying to change it. Because it suits me evening hours, I'll go and do in the evening. It doesn't mean much. It doesn't help at all. So better to understand the Prakriti, how Prakriti works. And we adjust along with the Prakriti. And accept Prakriti's nature and set up ourselves favorably for that. Yeah. So so Krishna mentions here that Mamegam Sharanam Vraja, he said, means give everything to Krishna. Everything is Krishna's. That recognition inside, right? What that means is by remembering Krishna inside as Antaryami, with that awareness, bodham, not get carried away by the world. To prevent the impact of the world on us, world comes through the senses inside and starts changing everything. The reality is Antaryami is inside. We have a deep relationship with him. Actually, we have only relationship with Antaryami. All other relationships are on the bodily level. That will come and that will go. The way it has come, it will go. But relationship with Antaryami is forever. Without Antaryami, we don't exist. Is it not? Antaryami is reflection is Jiva. So Jiva and Antaryami are like this together. At no time, whether we leave this body, we get another body, we get liberated. In all situations, our connection with Antaryami is firm and very deep. And that is the relationship that one should think about, not the temporary relationships of this world. But because of Maya, we are forced to think in this way. Accept the body as the self, bodily extensions as the self's extensions, and then the world as real and things like that, right? So it is this thing, in the Bhagavatam you will find this spoken, if you remember all this, but in the 11th canto, when they discussed the Navayogis, they mentioned this, right? They mentioned this. Eleven 11 to 49, he's saying there that not to fall into this moha means illusion. Dehendriya prana manodhiyamyo janmapya yakshul bhaya tarsha krachrahi samsara dharmai avimuhyamana smritya harir bhagavada pradhana. Bhagavata Dharma, important principle, Hari Maharshi is saying here. This is all related to Bhagavadottama, first class devotee, isn't it? Sarvabhudeshya pashyet bhagavad bhavam alpana, bhudani bhagavatyalpana, yasha bhagavadottama. The same thing he is saying here. Dehendriya prana manodhiyamyo janmape yachu bhaya darsha krachrahi. These are all samsara dharma. Samsara dharma means dharma of this body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the pranam, the senses, all of them. That's what he's saying. Deha indriya prana mano dhyamyo. And its effects on us is janmape yachur bhaya tarsha krachrahi. All of them, right? These are all samsara dharma. Avimuhyamana. And not to get affected by that. Smritya harir bhagavada pradhana. That is what makes a person bhagavadottama, bhagavada pradhanam, right? So these are all samsara dharma, it is. Samsara dharma, right? What? Body, senses, pranam, mind, intelligence, and their behavior, their nature. Their nature is samsara dharma. You can't change all these things. It is just the way it's been. Maya has put this box on us with all these different things, body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, right? So, without giving importance to any of these things, to stay in the platform of the soul is what he is saying here, avimuhyamana. Avimuhyamana means that not to fall into that illusion that the activities of the body, activities of the mind, activities of the senses, activities of the intelligence, activities of the ego has nothing to do with me. I am separate from that. And to remain in the platform of the soul, on the Antaryami's platform. So in that way, one who is able to do that, and Krishna is saying this, the same thing with the three modes of nature as well. Nothing to do with me. Three modes of nature is working, I have nothing to do with it. So, and that situation Krishna calls it as gunatitan. One who has transcended the three modes. One who has transcended the three modes, right? So, even though three modes Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita, the idea is this, that we have a difficulty. Our difficulty is when both Krishna and the rishis, their way of saying we don't fully understand when they speak, right? Krishna spoke about the three modes and then he said three modes are not, you have to not to get affected by the three modes. Three modes are there. And he has not gone too far to say to us, in other words, he does not like to write the specifications of Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam, like that. All the specifications, right? The way how it affects us, from that you have to understand that the three modes exist. How it is affecting us. Yeah. But strictly speaking, they are not real. Because from the absolute platform, if you look at it, three modes are not real. Because they come from Maya. If it just come from Maya, it cannot be real. It's not. So on the one hand, you have to be conscious of that as well, that it is not real. But you have to transcend these three modes as well. Gunatitam, Krishna says. If you study Bhagavad Gita, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, that is the 14th chapter. Yeah. You will find all these things discussed there. Yeah. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam.
26.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, yeah. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, you will see these things. Yeah. So, point is, that modes of nature is present, modes of nature has its effect, but we have nothing to do with the modes of nature. In the same way, all these things with the body, mind, senses, intelligence, ego, all of them will exist, but not to be affected by that. Samsara dharmai avimukhyamanam smritya harir bhagavata pradhana. Avimukhyamana means that you don't forget your connection with Antaryami. Krishna inside is our connection. Main connection is that. That is what you should not forget. All other things, you should not get affected by it. That is what is. Of course, this requires sadhana. Upasana is required to get there. But first of all, we should understand what is the reality, isn't it? What Bhagavad Gita is saying, what Bhagavatam is saying, is this breaking away from the prakriti completely. This is all prakriti. Which one? Body, mind, intelligence, prana, senses, everything is prakriti. Modes of nature, prakriti. So breaking away from prakriti and becoming, establishing that connection with the Antaryami inside. Right? So, these things, body, mind, intelligence and all that, they will do so many things in life with us. They will do it to us in different things. Body will give trouble, pain, pleasures. Similarly, mind, similarly intelligence, everything, right? So, they are to be looked at like Marimarichika, the mirage in the desert. We have to see them like that, these things, right? So, when like, actually there is no water, mirage, isn't it? There is no water, but the impression you have is there is water, and therefore you go there looking for the water, but there is no water there. It is the same way, all these things. They are not real, but unfortunately we can't accept it straight away because of our present situation, because we are so drowned in this body and the mind, everything. Right? So, we can get, but the problem is that with all these things, body, mind, intelligence and all, its activities, they call it as vikriya. Vikriya means the type of things they bring to us. Due to that, we can get cheated. We get cheated, isn't it? With the body, we get cheated. Body is cheating us every moment. We are not even conscious of that, are we? We will look after the body still and show all the care what we think is important. But then, one day, as Krishna says in the Ekadasham, it even tell you thank you, of course, like that. Yeah. So we get cheated by all these things, right? And Krishna is saying, so you have to surrender. That is what his Sarvadharman Paritya is talking about. You have to surrender that without being affected by any of these things. Without being affected by any of these things, you have to surrender. That is why mam eka sharanam vraja. Mam, you can say surrender to Krishna means surrender to Antaryami. Krishna means Antaryami inside. And that's where he told us to surrender previously. Tomeva sharanam dacha. So Antaryami Krishna is referring to again. That same Antaryami is surrender. So the thing is this, that if you, this particular verse, sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja, right? In a simple terms, if you talk about it, right, all it says is that hand over all your problems to Krishna in life, yeah? Whatever problems we have, all difficulties, problems and sufferings and miseries, whatever we have, hand it over to Krishna and surrender to Him, right? For ordinary people, that is sufficient. This is where the problem is. For ordinary people, that's all they can do. That's all we can do. Just hand over everything to Krishna and leave it to Krishna to decide. Whatever way you want to do, you manage it with my body, mind, intelligence, senses. That is correct in that situation, right? That kind of bhakti. That means surrender and handing over everything to Krishna to take care of everything, right? So when we say mam ekam sharanam vraja, direct meaning if you take it, that is fine. That meaning is holds good. Yeah. So, but that is not enough for to understand Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is on a little higher level than that, right? Ramanujacharya has commented on this verse very extensively. Ajari Swami's verses also goes into many, many verses. So technical it is, related to karma, related to our very existence and things like that, right? Same way Madhvacharya also. All three Acharyas have given a lot of commentary on this particular verse, right? And all of them have done in different ways, in their own, because this is such a topic, this is, right? So if anybody says anything, if we say something about these words, people may say that it is your opinion, isn't it? They may talk like this, if you say about these words anything, right? So, therefore, the only thing you can do is to ask the person who wrote it, Vedavyasa Maharshi. He wrote these words and put it in the Bhagavad Gita. And only he can explain it, what he had in his mind, right? What that means is, in order to understand these words, you have to look at other books also, what Vedavyasa has written. For example, Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, Vishnu Puranam, Mahabharatam. Krishna is in all of them as well. Apart from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is present in Mahabharatam throughout. He is also present in the Vishnu Puranam. He is also present in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? This verse, there is a commentary of these words in Bhagavatam also. In Bhagavatam also, right? So, who is giving the commentary there? And through whom? Krishna himself is giving that commentary in the Bhagavatam. If you look into Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, when he is talking to Uddhava, Krishna says there. Look at the 11:12. If you look at that verses 13 and 14, it is, this verse is actually a commentary of this verse. Matkama ramanam jaram aswarupa vidho abalaha brahmamam paramam prapu sangal chada sahasrasha tasmatam uddhavol srajya chodanam prati chodanam pravurtancha nivurtancha shrodavyam shrutamevacha mamegam eva sharanam Almanam sarvadehinam yahi sarvalpa bhavena maya sya akuto bhayaha. Those three verses is a commentary on this verse in the Bhagavatam. When he was talking to Uddhava, Krishna is saying to him that, Uddhava, this thing called karmagandam in the Vedam will tell you to do so many different things. Karmagandam in the Vedam, right? For you, you don't need all these things anymore. It's more or less the same situation like the way with Arjuna now. After talking to Uddhava, with the 10th chapter, very important chapter in the 11th canto. And then in the 11th chapter, Krishna spoke some clarifications. And this is on the 12th chapter this comes. More or less, it's like the Sarvadharman Parityajya and the Bhagavad Gita. A similar situation in the Bhagavatam to Uddhava. So, if you look at these three verses, what I mentioned, 13, 14 and 15, mainly 14 and 15, he says, Tasmanta Uddhava Ulsrajya Chodanam Prati Chodanam Pravurtancha Nivurtancha Shrodavyam Shrodamevacha. Mean, what he is saying is that here Krishna called it a Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Where is all the dharmam coming from? The Vedam, is it not? Vedam is installing the dharmam on us. Vedam puts all the boundaries on the society. So his point is that karmagandam in the Vedam will say so many different things. You don't need that anymore. You have gone beyond that. You don't need that, right? Because Karmakandam will tell you many things like your material duties, material responsibilities, family life and all other responsibilities, things like that. So many duties Vedam will tell you to do. And similarly, your senses will demand certain things in life. Senses will demand, right? And there will be, that's what he's saying there. Chodana pratichodanam. You see that word? What he's saying here? Tasmat muddhaval ulsarjya chodanam pratichodanam pravrtancha nivrtancha shrodavyam shrodamevacha. Pravrti nivrti shrodavyam shrudi. In other words, he's saying here, pravrti refers to grahastha dharma. Yeah? And nivrti means sannyasa dharma. Normally it is to be understood that way. Because pravrti happens in grahastha dharma, grahastha life. Nivrti happens in the sannyasam stage. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, don't think about any of them anymore. Just like to Arjuna, he says, give up everything. Sarva dharman parityajya, mamekam sharanam braja. In the same way, he is saying to Uddhava that the tasmad Uddhava ulsrajya chodanam pratichodanam. Chodana means the provocation from inside. Chodana and pratichodana and opposite things that comes from inside. What do you say that? The kind of demands that comes from the body, mind, senses and things like that. Yeah, they are all the chodana. Demands of the body, demands of the mind, demands of the intelligence, ego, senses, everything, pranam, all that are demands from inside. That's called a chodana. And there are pratichodana. Sometimes you don't want something, you don't like this, you don't like that. All this kind of situation. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, give it up. Don't think about it anymore. They are gone, finished with that. Yeah. Then he says, pravrtancha nivrtancha. Pravrtam means grahastha dharmam. Nivrti means sannyasa dharmam. Even go beyond than that. So he says to Krishna, says to him, then he said, mamekam eva sharanam. He said, next words you see, mamekam eva sharanam, alpanam sarvadehinam, one who is present in everyone as their andaryami inside. Alpanam sarvadehinam, yahi sarvalpa bhavena, total surrender there. Sarvalpa bhavam, realizing that he is present in everybody. Maya syal agudo bhaya, and become free from that. So you can see the situation here. What Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, the same way Krishna has spoken to Uddhava also in there. Only the words are different. But if you look at the spirit of these verses, it's the same as what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna. Isn't it? So you have to think, to understand all these, what Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you also look at what Krishna has told Uddhava from that. Yeah? So, then he said that don't think about anything anymore. You have studied a lot all these years and that is enough. There is nothing to study anymore. And whatever you think you have to study further, give up all that. There is not, life is short. You don't have whole life studying, right? So, and surrender to me. That's what he said to Uddhava there. So, and then he said in that last word, in the 15th verse, mamekam eva sharanam, alpmanam sarvadehinam, yahi sarvalpa bhavena, mayasyal agudo bhaya. Right? So, Krishna said like that, I am present in everyone as the very self, sarvalpa bhavena, and surrender to that Chaitanyam. Me, who is present in everyone as their very soul, to that soul you surrender. Means to Andaryami, you surrender, right? So, if you do like that, Sharanagadi, what will happen? me, who is present in everyone, me, who is present in everybody, right? I will when you surrender to me, he says, that This in Shastram they call it as Ekadeshiya Satta. Satta means that the essence of all of us, is Krishna, who is present in everybody. And when He is present in everyone, that is called Ekadeshiya Satta, the one essence that is present in everybody, right? And if you surrender like that, what will happen is, you will lose your identity as Jiva and become one with this Antaryami or Ekadeshiya Satta inside. And then you will realize everything is me. Everything is me. And that is Sharanagati. That is Sharanagati. That is Sharanagati's perfection. That when you realize that you are present in everybody as the same Antaryami, is because you are one with the Antaryami, there your Sharanagati is complete. Sharanagati begins with these things, that everything is Krishna's. Everything is Krishna's doing it. Body, mind, everything is Krishna's in that way. So, after began with that, but it ends up like this. This is the end result, Krishna is saying. The end result will be that you will see yourself as one with me and not separate from me. And you will realize that it's me who is present in everybody. And this is why you know that about Sukadeva Goswami mentioned. Sarvabhuvudakhradayam vinimana dosmi. Sutta said about that. Sutta Goswami said that about Shukha Brahmarshi, is it not? Tam sarvabhuvudakhradayam vinimana dosmi. How could he say that? Because he saw this in him. That Shukha Brahmarshi knew everything what was happening everywhere. Because he has become one with the Antaryami inside. Right? So, and when that happens, fear has gone once for all. There is no more fear after that. That's what he told him. Akuto bhaya. You see there? Maya syal akuto bhaya. Yahi sarvalma bhavena. You become one with all the atmas in the world. Sarvalma bhavena. Ena maya syal akuto bhaya. You become free from the fear. So, that is self-realization. Sarubajnanam, Atma Sarubajnanam, and then Bhayam has gone, fear has gone. That means Dvaita Buddhi has gone. Dvaitam has gone, and you will become completely free from fear. Once a Dvaita Buddhi goes away, Bhayam Didiyal Abhinivesatasyal, Kavi Maharshi said that earlier. You remember that? Bhayam Didiyal Abhinivesatasyal, because when you think there is two, there is always fear. If there is no two, there is only one, then whom will you be fearful about? There will be no more fear. So, bhayam jidiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abedasya vibaryayo smriti. Due to our ignorance, when we fell off from the Antaryami realizations into the bodily platform, the two has come, dvaitam has come, and we became fearful because of that. So when the fear goes away, Shokam will go. Shokam will go. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Moksha ishyami ma shucha. Shucha means shokam. Shokam leaves you. Automatically it will leave, right? The cause of all the shokam or distress is this dvaita buddhi. Dvaita buddhi, right? That is, ahangaram is there, abhimanam is there. But they will all go once this happens. Mind also goes away. So therefore, Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, surrender to me. So this verse, in the light of Bhagavatam, if you look at it, very much a similar message Krishna has given to Uddhava also. Very much similar message Krishna has given to Uddhava. That means how that surrender happens and what happens with the surrender. Dvaita Buddhi has to go and Antaryami you have to surrender. And become one with the Antaryami. Same thing we are talking again and again, the same thing. Becoming one with the Antaryami, and with that the fear goes. Fear goes means shokam goes away. The distress, what comes? Ma shuja. The shuja, shokam goes away. So therefore he said, surrender unto Antaryami, surrender unto me. Aham tuan sarva bhavebhyo. What does papa means? Papa means all the things what we have we have collected through our karma. Is it not? Karma has only given us that. What else has karma given? A lot of sinful activities we have done and its results. What we have accumulated, right? And Krishna is saying, once this happens, your papam won't be there to bother you anymore. It will be wiped out straight away, right? It will not affect you. It will not affect you. So that is what Acharya Swamiji is also saying here. Sarvadharman paritejya sanyasya sarvakarmani iti edat mam ekam sarvalpmanam samam sarvabhudasthidam ishwaram achyudam garbha janma jara marana varjidam aham eva iti evam ekam sharanam vraja namataha anyadasti iti avadhara ityartaha. Everything what we have here, once you have come to that level, that I am Atma, Antaryami, means I have no birth or death, no Jananam Maranam, that's what he's saying here. No Jananam Maranam, right? Jara, garbham Achyudam, Garbha Janma Jara Marana Varjidam. All the four problems doesn't apply to us anymore. Birth, death, old age and disease, right? And come to this realization, nothing exists here separately from me. And that is the result of Sharanagati. When that happens, when the Sharanagati becomes perfect, then you realize that nothing exists. Actually, only Krishna exists here. Pure Chaitanyam, Krishna, Antaryami, Paramatma, Bhagavan, whichever way you call it. Only He exists. World is a projection of Maya. World is a projection of Maya. It is not real, right? But because, but without Krishna, world cannot exist also. Maya got the power to project this world because Krishna is present in the Maya. That is why. But Maya is not real. Maya is not real. The way the world is projected in front of us and we are accepting it as real, that reality feeling is coming because of the Antaryami's presence in that. That is why you feel it is real. Actually, it's not real. But because of its presence, the feeling of reality comes to the creation. Comes to the creation. Right? So, then he said that you will come to realize when the self-realization happens. He said, surrender, Sharanagati, and the realization from that. Then you will realize that nothing exists separately from you because you have hit the center. You have hit the center then. You see, center is Krishna, Antaryami. You have got there. And then the world, everything is existing, but you realize this world is also you. World has come from here, from Antaryami. So, Aham Tva, he is saying here, Aham Tva, Tvam Evam Nishchita Buddhim, Sarva Bhavebhyaha, Sarva Dharma Adharma Bandhana Rubhebhyaha, Moksha Yishyami, Svalpa Bhava Prakashi Karanena, Uktam Cha. And in the 10th chapter, Krishna said, Nashayami Alpa Bhavasto, Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. This is what it is referring to. Nashayami Alpa Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. In the 11th verse in the 10th chapter, Krishna said that. What does exactly that means is this. Nashayami Alpa Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. Krishna is saying that present inside all of us as Antaryami, He will make us experience that Alpa Bhavam. And with the torchlight of knowledge, Jnana Deepam, torchlight of knowledge. Torchlight of knowledge means Antaryami will take us on board, we'll become one with Him, and that is what is spoken in that way. Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. That is how self-realization happens. Antaryami inside will take us, accept us, because we have left Maya. And we have given up identification, body, mind, senses, intelligence, ego, prana, and everything gone from you. From you, that's all gone. Maya has withdrawn, in other words, from you. Maya has withdrawn. You have become free. And you have become one. Antaryami has accepted you. And therefore he said, Nashayami Alma Bhavastam. Alma Bhavastam means Antaryami Bhav. Alma Bhav. You have become one with that. Jnana Dibhena Bhaswata. Krishna will take you to that state of Jnana Dibhena Bhaswata. Right? So that is what he is saying here. That the so dharmam adharmam, they've all gone. At that stage there is no dharmam adharmam. Dharmam adharmam is all when you are a jiva. Mm-hmm. Once you have come out of this, then there is no dharmam adharmam, right? When you are a jiva, you will start thinking, should I do like this or should I do in another way? Something different, right? And then you have got this right and wrong, isn't it? Then you are also conscious of punyam, pavam, pious activities, sinful activities. All that's finished. It's not applicable anymore. They only apply when you are on the jiva level. When you have become one with atma, these things don't apply anymore. You understand? This sinful activities, pious activities. Similarly, right and wrong. And should I do like this or should I do like that? What is the right thing to do? All these questions are only when you are in that level of a jiva. When you are identifying with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses and all that. Once you have become free from that, once you become free from that maya, three modes of nature gone, bodily identification, everything has gone, and you have become to this Atma Bhavastam, what Krishna is saying here. Nashayami Atma Bhavastam. Atma Bhavam has come by Krishna's mercy, grace. He has taken you on board with the Antaryami. He has taken you on board with the Antaryami. At that stage, all these things has no relevance. Which one? Pious activity, sinful activity, right and wrong, and should I do this or should I do that? All these questions have no validity anymore. So, Svalpa Bhavam Prakashi Karanam Mokshaha. He says, Moksha Yishyami Mashucha. And at the same time, you realize that this Svalpa Bhavam, Prakashi Karanena Moksham, that Moksham, you realize that there is no such thing called moksham. And there is no such thing called bondage either. Krishna will say that in Ekadasham. So that's what I'm saying, that many things we will build up on some understanding, and then once suddenly Krishna smashes everything. And he says it's not like that. So right now we are all thinking, oh, I am in bondage, I am entangled, I am stuck with this family life, I am stuck with the job, I'm stuck with this. Krishna says, yes, that is bondage, prarabdham it is. And then one day he is saying that there is no such thing called bondage. And there is no such thing called liberation either. That is his point, right? And I have to do a lot of work to get liberated. That also has no meaning. Because the thing is, this spiritual life is such that what we have to do means, what has to happen to us is, this avidya has to leave us inside. Actually, we are all liberated state, even now. We are in the Antaryami is not, we are not doing anything, because we are one with Antaryami. And Antaryami is not bound anywhere. And then Antaryami is full of knowledge. Antaryami is full of knowledge and bliss and eternal. That is our true nature, is that. But due to this avidya, we are suffering. So when avidya goes away, we realize that all these things didn't exist. It was just thrust upon us by avidya. Avidya put that in us. And we are suffering from that now. And then we say, oh, I have to do a lot of sadhana. I have to work very hard. And I have to follow all the regulative principles. And I have to chant my 16 rounds every day. All these things comes to us very strongly. If I have not done, I feel nervous. I didn't do my rounds today. all worries about mukti, because I'm worried about my mukti at that time. But Krishna is saying, you're already in the mukti stage, but the problem is that this avidya is so strong inside. Avidya has not left you. So till the avidya goes away, right? And so that is why in the Kathopanishad, that famous statement, Emai Veshe Vrunade Tena Labhyaha, he said, if Antaryami decides to take you on board, everything is finished then. There is no sadhana needed. But that varanam, that is what is called, right? Varanam. That Atma, it reveals itself from inside, who we are. Yeah? And this bodily identity goes away by then from us. So it is all what we are doing now through this sadhana is purifying our subtle body. That is what sadhana does. Just purifying the subtle body. The ragadvesham, kamakrosam, because they are all impurities of the mind, impurities of the intelligence, impurities of the ego, all these things, ahangaram. These are all the impurities inside here. Getting rid of all these impurities from inside. That's what sadhana does. In a pure heart, when everything is pure, Antaryami will accept the jiva and then he realizes the self, right? Atma Suryava Prakashanam. And that removes that avidya, ajnanam avaranam. And immediately from inside, Atma Tattvam will reveal itself. And in that way, I will take care of everything. Krishna said this to Arjuna, right? So, in other words, what Krishna is saying is that I will give you the self-realization and I will protect you that way with self-realization. Yeah? So, that's what he's saying, that asmin gita shastre param nishraya sadhanam nishchidam kim jnanam karma va aho svid ubhayam iti. Why doubt about it? He said. Why doubt? And he says here, Yel jnato amrutam ashnute. In the 12th verse in this chapter, Krishna has said that before. Tatomam tattodo jnatva vishade tadanandaram. In the 11th chapter, Krishna said that. Yeah? And in this 18th chapter, 55th verse, tadomam tattodo jnatva vishade bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yasmi tattoda. Tadomam tattodo jnatva vishade tadanandaram. That's the same thing Krishna is saying here. In a little different way, but the same thing what he is saying here, right? Ityadini vakyani kevalal jnanat nishrayasa pratyam darshayandi. And then he said earlier in the second chapter also, karmanye vadhigaraste mahabhaleshu kadachana, all that. Kuru karma eva, in the fourth chapter, kuru karma eva tastasmatvam ityavam adini karmanam avashyakartavyadam darshayandi. So, knowing what, knowing or realizing what, you become free from death. There is no more death after that, when it happens. And when you get to know me properly, you enter into me. If you hear all those words, you can see that avidya must leave us, somehow or the other. Whether it is bhakti margam, bhakti can also get you to the same situation. If we have developed the kind of bhakti what Krishna has spoken. What Krishna has spoken. If you have developed that bhakti, then it can release you from this. From this bond, this situation. Or, avidya has to be taken out by the jnana margam. Through the shravanam mananam vidhyasana. Right? So, and so he says here that the kaivalyam, liberation, that happens that way, and because it gives that ajnanam atmajanatidu kevalasya bhalavatvad, So Kaivalyam is a result, the liberation is the result, and along with that all the Veda Buddhi goes away from us, Veda Bhavana goes away, and this Alpajnanam or the knowledge of the self alone is the ultimately the goal of everything. That alone will protect us and save us from this state where we are now. Yeah. So once the knowledge of the self comes, avidya goes away automatically at that time. Avidya nivartakam ayam ahamasmi nivartakarmat tanihitam. So esha eva anyatamasya paramanishrayesa sadhanatval avadharanam adha visirnataram mimamsyasal. In order to understand this, it requires a very extensive explanation to this. Ajarya Swamiji's commentary on that, yeah? And he has gone, as an essence, he has put that at the end. Atmajnanasya tu kevalasya nishrayasa hetutvam beda pratyayam nivartakatvena kaivalya bhalavasanatva avasanatvat. Only the knowledge of the self, only the knowledge of self-realization, in other words, will make you free from this situation. Which means that dvaitam has to go. That the two, feeling of that two, dvaitam, right? Only then it will end up in that way. And all the other things, like we have now, kriyakaraka bhalabheda buddhi, avidyaya almani nitya pravartoho, mama karma, aham karta, amushmai bhalaya idam, karma karishyami, idi iyam avidya anadikala pravartaha. He is saying, karma is there. And we have this strong feeling, I am doing it. He said, aham karta, I am the doer. Then he said, we also have the sankalpam inside us, the result. Aham bhokta, result, right? Due to this sankalpam inside us, our avidya inside is very strong. Aham karta, aham bhokta, ragadvesham. All these four things. Ragadvesham, aham karta, aham bhokta. These four things, if it leaves us, the world is gone then. The world creates these four inside us. Aham karta, aham bhokta, raga dvesham. If you have succeeded in getting rid of these four from inside, Krishna is saying, the world is gone, then you won't have any effect of the world on you. So, these are all imposed due to avidya on the self, by ourselves, right? And then you start thinking, my karma, my duty, and I am doing it, and this should result I should get, and for that purpose I am doing this karma. This is all part of that avidya package. It's a part of that avidya package, right? So, so this goes on for quite a bit, a long explanations here, right? We'll call that for a moment. So, after saying all these things, Krishna says to Arjuna, surrender, Sharanagati, right? And only a few people will be able to do it the way Krishna has spoken, right? So this verse is discussed by everybody. All great personalities. Vivekananda also spoke about this verse, right? He says, only a few people will be able to be like this, fully surrendered to Krishna and living with this state of consciousness, right? He said, only few souls will live for God and God alone. Yeah. Let the world go. Don't worry about the world, what is going to happen to the world, right? No compromise on this, he said. When Vivekananda was speaking, what happened in America was at that time, he was speaking very strongly about, and he was pouring this knowledge to the people who were present there in that parliament of religions, right? After hearing all these things, they had never heard this before from anybody. Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, and all these different ways of presenting the truth, that was unheard of for them. So when one day, after some time, they were completely, what do you say, flabbergasted by this whole thing, by his lectures, right? So they went up to him and told him that, Swamiji, whatever you are saying, it's not possible for anybody to do all these things. So Swamiji told them, that's their problem, it's not my problem, he said. This is what the truth is. Whether you try hard and you try to take advantage of this, my job is to not, I have not come all the way here to please you. He's saying to them, I have not come here to please you. I have come to tell you the truth. This is the truth, he said. And put this very strongly in front of them. They couldn't say one word, because they were not used to this kind of spiritual life. They were used to going to the church on a Sunday and praying for a couple of hours and coming home and then doing what they wanted. And you are saying all these people to such powerful knowledge was projected to them, and the immediate effect was, that's when he said this, that I am not bothered, he said. In this world, there will be not many people who will be inquiring. As Krishna also said, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, very, very, very few people will be searching for the truth. Majority of the people will be in the bodily concept of life, and they want to live a comfortable life. If Krishna can help, welcome. If not, we have nothing to do with you. You do your life, I have my life. That's the way we are. The world is like that, yeah? Krishna is saying, there are very few people who are qualified to do Sharanagati. Who are qualified to do Sharanagati. It is for them this Sharanagati was spoken. You see? Those people who are qualified to do Sharanagati, it is for them Sharanagati was spoken. Right? So, only when you have the determination and the courage and the strength inside, Krishna will accept him, that person who has done that, right? And then he will make you not separate from him. He'll make you one with him, right? Make himself, in other words, right? And that is the secret of this verse. That's the most important thing to know. So as I said, initially for an ordinary people, in an ordinary level when you speak, you say like this, that Sharanagati we should do, all our problems, happiness, distress, and all our sufferings, miseries, distress, everything, you should give it to Krishna and say to him that you look after me, you take care of me. That is an average person's surrender. Average, that, on that level, that is understandable. That's all possible. But for one who has understood Bhagavad Gita properly, his surrender is different. His surrender is determined. He understood. That means Shastram is working for him. It has gone in and affected him. And he realized that he is not a servant of this body, not a servant of the senses, not a servant of the mind, which is on a higher level, obviously. It's on a higher level, is it not? And that is what these two levels we are talking about. For ordinary people, it is good enough if you just say to them that you surrender to Krishna, give all your problems to Krishna and take his shelter. That way, that Sharanagati is on an ordinary level. But right understanding, Tattvam, when you talk about Tattvam of these verses, based on the Acharya's commentaries, is like this, that you realize it, that you have nothing to do with the body, mind, intelligence, senses, everything, and the three modes of nature, and you have come free from all that, and you are solely focused on realizing the truth, and Antaryami accepting you that way, and becoming one with Antaryami, that is proper Sharanagati. So you see the Sharanagati in two different levels. Ordinary people, Sharanagati is one level. But this level of Sharanagati is through knowledge. Proper knowledge of the... That means after studying Shastram and having accepted everything what Krishna has spoken, and you have scrutinized it very well inside, and you have developed sufficient vairagyam from this world, and all attachment, aversions, everything gone, and even attachment to your own body, mind, senses, everything, you start seeing them as they are, as a product of Maya, which has come to us, all these things, and you have become free from the grip of all that, and then you know that the only thing what you have to do is to surrender to that Antaryami, what Krishna spoke before, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, that surrender, and at that point Antaryami accepting you, that is that Sharanagati, is the real Sharanagati. The other Sharanagati is a big thing in the Bhagavadam also, it's not. We have various examples in the Bhagavadam for Sharanagati. Uttara Sharanagati, Draupadi Sharanagati, then Gajendra Sharanagati, Ambarisha Sharanagati, Mahabali Sharanagati, all these Sharanagatis are there in the Bhagavadam. For examples for Sharanagati I am saying. But great person, Kundi Devi Sharanagati also. But among all that Sharanagatis, Uttara Devi Sharanagati is the topmost. And Gajendra Sharanagati and all are on a little lower level. Uttara Devi Sharanagati is more important. Why? Because Uttara Devi realized that to whom to surrender, that intelligence she had. That is why Shiva Brahmarshi called Parikshit Uttaratanaya, giving credit to Uttara Devi more than Parikshit. Because that Uttara Devi's blood is flowing in you, therefore you have this intelligence to surrender. In the Bhagavatam you will find Shiva Brahmarshi calling Parikshit as Uttaratanaya, more than Parikshit is calling Uttara Devi's son. That credit goes to Uttara Devi. Why? She had these five men standing around her. Pandavas, right? And when Dushasana and all others, when Parikshit was burning inside, at that time, Uttara Devi realized that they can't help me. What can they do? Inside it's burning from the heat of the Brahmastram of Ashwatthama. So at that time, Uttara Devi's intelligence, so intelligent she was, that she was able to realize that if I have to surrender, I have to surrender to the right person. And that is Krishna. And that way, that decision of Uttara Devi, able to surrender to Krishna rather than surrendering to anybody else, made her the best of all the surrenders in the Bhagavadam. So, Sharanagati is a big topic to study. In Bhagavadam, different personalities, they surrendered in different ways, is it not? You can see Gajendra, initially he tried to fight, like we. He tried to fight Prarabdham, didn't work. When everything lost, then he surrendered. So therefore Uttara surrender and Gajendra surrender is different level. Draupadi also initially didn't surrender to Krishna, is it not? So Draupadi's understanding was he is Dwaraka Vasin. That's how he addressed Krishna. As though Krishna is only in Dwaraka, not anywhere else. But then after a lot of prayers and everything, finally Dwaraka, Krishna appeared in the form of the sari for Draupadi to protect her. So Krishna took some time there. Didn't do it straight away, like in the case of Uttara Devi. So there also, Draupadi was looking towards Dhritarashtra, Bhishma and the Pandavas to do something about Dushasana, his misbehavior, right? So they didn't do anything. So in other words, Draupadi also didn't take shelter straight away. Took a while for her. When everything failed, Draupadi approached Krishna. Till then didn't. Till then she was looking at Dhritarashtra and Bhishma. But they were not doing anything. They didn't do anything. Because Duryodhana was such a character that he will not listen to anybody. A kind of a, how do you say, reckless character, reckless nature he had. And Duryodhana won't say anything because he was appreciating what Dushasana was doing. And that was the situation in that assembly there, what happened, right? So Draupadi didn't make it. Gajendra didn't make it. Mahabali didn't make it. Mahabali also initially that you go inside, you come to Mahabali, you should know what you should ask Mahabali, he says. Is it not? In the Bhagavatam you remember that, 8th canto, right? So in other words, at that time he was not surrendered. He was saying that you should know what you should ask Mahabali when you come. He says to this Brahmachari, Vamanadeva, Vamanamurti. So Mahabali also had problem like that. So if you look at that way, in everyone, surrender, Uttara has beaten all of them. Uttara has beaten everybody. Uttara's intelligence was so clarity inside, only Krishna can protect, nobody else. And that is proper surrender. With that understanding, nobody else in this created world can protect us. Actually, Krishna can protect us. But to come to that realization, right? Even now, our situation, we will get problems, sufferings, we'll go to doctor, we'll try medicines. When nothing else works, only when we come to hopeless state, we'll take Krishna shelter. Till then, we will try all the other agencies available, all the other agencies, right? So, so this is the secret of this verse, Sarvadharman Parityajya. We must understand this verse very well, properly and properly also. Not just on the surface. For ordinary people, you can, like a lot of devotees, you talk to them, they'll tell you, this Sarvadharman Parityajya, I've done, I've joined the movement, I've given up all my duties, work, everything, I'm just serving at the temple, and Mamegam Sharanam Raja, I'm doing that. So, that is one level of understanding, right? And even there, we have holding back something. There is no total surrender there. But proper surrender, what Krishna is saying, has to be like this, the way he has explained it in that verse. And to understand this verse, you have to go to Uddhava's discussion with Uddhava. And when you compare these two, then you get a gist of what Krishna is saying. What does Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja means? Right. So, this is the secret of this verse. If you want to know more about this verse, you have to meditate on this verse more, and then you will get the clarity from inside. Antaryami will give you better understanding of this verse more, right? Only then it will be effective. Yeah. So it's a verse for meditation. So only then it will come out properly. It will come out properly, right? Otherwise, it is through meditation that this verse has to be understood. Through dhyanam, right? So, you have to take this verse, meditate upon this, lot of contemplation, and live that life and find out what that means. And you have to do life also, to change the life also. So through dhyanam and through life, you have to realize this verse. You have to realize this verse. And only then it will be proper. And that is the next verse. Idam ne na tapaskaya, na bhaktaya kadachana, na jashushrushave vachyam, na jamam yo abhyasuyati. This shastram, Krishna is saying, idamne na tapaskaya, na abhaktaya kadachana, na cha ashrushushave vachyam, na chamam yo abhyasuyati. I have said this to you for your benefit, right? When the doctor says, when he gives the medicine, right? You should take this medicine. It's for you. Doctor will say, it's for you, this medicine. Don't give it to everybody else. It is for you. In the same way, right? And they'll tell you, don't keep it. You know, on the prescription they'll say, don't keep it where the children can get it. Things like that, is it not? Or they'll say, keep it under 30 degrees C. All the medicines, what they give it to you, right? Similarly, Krishna is saying in this verse, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, that it's a medicine and you should use it carefully, this medicine should be used carefully, right? And if you take it properly, this medicine, then you will become free from material existence. That's what he's saying here. Idam Shastram. Material existence is our disease, bodily identity in other words. That's the disease. And the medicine for that is this Bhagavad Gita. medicine for bodily identification. In other words, what we say, self-realization. So disease, we have a disease, right now. And that disease is bodily identity. And we want the medicine for that. And this is the medicine Krishna is saying. Idam shastram, te tava hidaya maya uktam, samsara vichitaye atavaskaya, tapore hidaya na vachyam, idi vavahidena sambadhyade. Is saying that if you take it properly, then it will end up in self-realization. You will become one with Antaryami. But you should not give this medicine to people who are not willing to perform the necessary austerity in life. Because you have to be a little bit austere in life to hear Bhagavad Gita, right? A certain discipline is necessary in life. You know, control on food, control on sleep, materialistic activities. You've got to withdraw from all that. Only then this will work. That is tapasya. Able to do some sadhana, everything, right? So Krishna is saying first thing, idam ne na tapaskaya, idam de na tapaskaya. One who has no tapasya means one who is not disciplined in life. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all these things, discipline in all these things, and withdrawn from the world to a large extent, and living a life with a spiritual goal and some sadhana, and he is willing to perform some tapasya for that, and one who don't have that, don't give it to him. It won't work. Yeah. Have we got tapasya? Only Krishna knows, isn't it, what we are doing. How much tapasya have we got? Right? So, our standard of tapasya, where it is, only Krishna can decide how much tapasya we have got, right? So, but we have to take it. We have little tapasya, otherwise we won't be sitting here, is it not? There is something there in us that is keeping us to hear Bhagavad Gita. So, and to get some connection with Bhagavad Gita shows that there is some tapasya. But how big that tapasya is, that is in Krishna's estimation. Only Krishna knows, right? So, and then you are chanting the holy name. All that is tapasya, chanting the holy name, right? And hearing Bhagavad Gita continuously, year after year after year, and getting connected to Bhagavad Gita that way, accepting what Krishna is saying, the proper Shravanam process. All these things is tapasya. This is all tapasya. Now, Krishna is saying, tapasya is, one person has got, he has got tapasya, but he does not have bhakti to Ishvara and to the spiritual master, to the Guru. One should not give it to him. So, that is also part of that. Ishvara bhakti, Guru bhakti is also necessary. He is saying here that's what, na abhaktaya kadachana. Na bhaktaya kadachana. Na bhaktaya. If he is not a devotee, it should not be given. That means bhakti towards Guru and Krishna. Yasya deve para bhakti, yadha deve tadha guru, tatasya katseva katideyarta, prakashande mahatmana. That words, yeah. So, that's spoken there. So, that is in the Upanishad, Ashvedara Upanishad spoken that. One who has got that parabhakti in Krishna and equally bhakti towards the Guru, to such a person, this Upadesham will work very well. It will be very effective in such a person, right? It will produce results, in other words, his life will change, in other words. His life will change, right? So, naja abhaktaya, even if he is a tapasvi, these are the qualifications. He must be a tapasvi, he must be a devotee. Proper bhakti must be there. Otherwise, not to give, right? Tapasya many people have done, is it not? For example, Hiranyaksha did tapasya. Hiranyakashipu also did tapasya. But you cannot give it to them because they were not devotees, right? So similarly, People who don't like to hear Bhagavad Gita, who don't like to hear Bhagavad Gita, if you bring them forcefully and make them to listen, telling them that you will get nice prasadam after that, there is sweet rice and there is halwa and puris and this, that and the other, bribing them like that and bringing them in, you should not do that. It won't work. For them also it won't work. They'll be waiting, when are you going to serve your prasadam? No shravanam will happen, isn't it? No shravanam will happen. Only waiting for the prasadam. You have to wait 2 hours to get your halwa and puri. I'm not coming there. And even if they do come, if you have bribed people like that through prasadam and all that, it's all right. You can. It has happened like that with prasadam. Many people have been brought in. But the thing is that their spiritual growth will be very, very, very slow. Because they think that they come and take a prasadam, that's enough. That's how they think about it. Those who are taking prasadam like that. Yeah. So, Krishna is saying that don't bring people like that and give Bhagavad Gita to them. It won't work. So, tapasya is required. Tapasya. Bhakti is required. And then this. Naja shushrushave vachyam najamam yo abhyasuyati. Right? They have to come on their own. They want to hear. Right? And if you force them and bring them in, they'll be showing their unhappiness. They'll be saying, when is it going to finish? They'll just come now. How can I, when can I finish? When is it going to finish? Like that. And they'll be waiting for that. You can see they'll keep on looking at their watch and looking at the clock. Is it over? When is it going to finish? Right? Otherwise, they look at their mobile. They look at their mobile. That thing is the biggest demon. And I cannot live without that demon. This is the state of affairs, right? So, so what to do? This is a problem. In Bhagavad Gita, it's a science, isn't it? So, only the customer also has to be qualified to take Bhagavad Gita, right? So, such people, when they come for satsangam, they'll give you an impression as though they are doing you a favor by coming. Because inside there is no desire to know what it is, right? And it's very difficult to say from the face that whether they really want to hear Bhagavad Gita. So this, that is what that one line is talking about. Naja shushrushave vachyam. Naja shushrushave vachyam means, shushrusha means that the desire to for shravanam should be very strong inside. Just want to hear properly. And if you don't have that, then don't, it won't work, right? So, shushrusha, when we say, you can say in one level, washing the feet of the guru and things like that, bodily services, what they do, all these things. And it is accepted that it is a seva, right? It is accepted like that. But when Bhagavad Gita says, shushrusha and shravanam, study, all these things, which is different. It is different, right? So, it is a natural urge inside, love for Bhagavad Gita. You just have to get attachment to Bhagavad Gita's knowledge, in other words, right? And when that is, and a feeling of gratitude to Krishna for giving this knowledge, that's how you get attached to Krishna. When you see that Krishna has given us something which nowhere in the world you get it from. Neither the university education, nor MIT, Harvard, Stanford, Cambridge, Oxford, you can go anywhere. This knowledge is not available. And therefore, when this knowledge is given, we should have that gratitude to Krishna for having given this to us. Yeah. And it has to come naturally from inside, a gratitude to Krishna. Because in whole life, we have done so many things to become happy. It all failed at the end. Everything was a failure. And ultimately, the body is also giving trouble. And you start realizing that our life in this world is a failure. At the end, it's a failure. Now everybody has to agree with this, right? You maybe have some sense gratification and all in these 60-70 years, but at the end of the day, it was a failure. Krishna's Bhagavad Gita makes that life a success. That is what it is, which nothing else can make it a success. Nothing else in this world can make your life success except Bhagavad Gita. So with that awareness has to come inside yourself, oneself, and he has to feel the gratitude to Krishna for giving this knowledge to us. Such a subtle, such a pure knowledge, which puts you finally once for all, what they call it as the fulfillment comes. Fulfillment. I got what I want. I don't need anything else after this. Able to say that, that only Bhagavad Gita can do. No other knowledge can do. All other knowledge is for earning the bread or your livelihood. Beyond that, what else did I get from this world otherwise? All other knowledge, what else has it done in me for me? Nothing else, right? So that is important thing. That is why that word, naja ashushushave vachyam najamam yobhisvayati. Then Krishna is saying, one who feels envy of me, you should not give it to them, right? Then the question will come, can anybody feel envy of Krishna? We don't even know him. So there is a question of feeling envy towards him, right? So that is why he is saying here that the Ajari Swami explains that, what that asuya means. Yeah? Naja yomam vasudevam pragradam manushyam matva abhisuyadi atma prashamsadi dosha adhyarovanena mama ishwaratvam ajanan na sahade asau abhi ayogyaha tasmai abhi na vachyam. In other words, I am son of Vasudev, yeah? And to start thinking, I am an ordinary person. And thinking about me, I am glorifying myself. Talking about Krishna. Krishna is saying this. Krishna is saying that I am son of Vasudeva, thinking of me as the son of Vasudeva, and thinking of me as like any other ordinary person, and thinking of me as one who is glorifying himself, Atma Prashamsa, through this Bhagavad Gita, and not able to understand me properly, not understanding Krishna properly, right? He should not, that is what that word abhisuyati means. So these four things, lack of tapas, na cha tapaskaya, na tapaskaya, na bhaktaya, no bhakti, kadachana, na cha shushushave vachya, and then na chamam yo abhisuyati, four things, right? Then you can see here, so Ajari Swamiji put it like that. Krishna is saying this way about himself, to think that he is like an ordinary person, like anybody else. With that approach, if you study Bhagavad Gita, you won't get very far. And Krishna said that, avajanandi ma mudha, manushindhanim ashridam, parambhavam ajanandam. That parambhavam of Krishna must be known first. Parambhavam ajanandam amabhudam aheshwaram, isn't it? So without knowing that bhavam of Krishna, thinking that Krishna is also like us, another person, and apart from that, to think that he is Vasudev's son after all, he is Vasudev's son, and he glorifies himself. In this way, if you start looking at me, you won't understand Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's point. So it should not be given to them either. And then, one who thinks that me and mine is very strong inside, it will be difficult for him to understand, which means that this me and mine works in different levels in everybody. That means we have prejudice, right? Prejudice inside, or what we call bias. The bias to somebody, like that, that is asuya, means that only if some one person, them whom they like, tells me, I will listen. Not otherwise. This kind of obstinacy. I won't listen Bhagavad Gita from everybody. I will only selected people whom I think, in my own mind, I have chosen somebody. And only from them I will listen. Not from everybody. And similarly, I won't accept any other commentary. Only, this is the thing, you see, That when you start thinking that, that means you won't get the proper understanding, won't come from that. If you put all these restrictions within yourself. So there are so many good commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Many great personalities commented, right? And you start saying they're all useless, bogus, there, and throw them out, and this is the only one I will accept. That's not proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. That is his asuya. Najamam yo abhisuyati. Right? So, that means you already have a preconditions. You are putting preconditions before you hear Bhagavad Gita. To such people, it is no use giving it to them. Right? So, out of these all four things what he spoke, the most important one is this bhakti. Shushrusha and bhakti. That's what Acharya Swamiji says. Tapasya, bhakti, shushrusha, asuya. Four things spoken, right? Out of those four things, Acharya Swamiji says, bhakti and shushrusha. They are the two important ones out of the four. Yeah. So, all the four things are required, right? Now, suppose someone doesn't have bhakti and he doesn't have shushrusha nature, but he has got tapasya and he has buddhi also. Can we give Bhagavad Gita to him? Acharya Swami says you can give provided he develops the desire for Shravanam. And at least if he has some bhakti. Bhakti, he says, is a must to understand Bhagavad Gita. Without bhakti, you can't understand Bhagavad Gita. That's a fact. When you study Bhagavad Gita, you will see that Krishna is expecting from us a certain mind, some form of mind. If you go with a challenging mind, you won't understand Bhagavad Gita. It's not possible. You need a certain frame of mind that the absolute truth is speaking, right? From an absolute platform. And we are inside Maya. And we have no other shelter unless the Supreme Authority takes us out from here through the knowledge, proper knowledge. So that means I have to, Krishna is not under three modes of nature. We are under three modes of nature. With all that situation where we are now, if I have to escape from here, I need his help. There is no other way it's going to happen. With my effort, my intelligence, my brain, nothing is going to help. So that degree of surrender and bhakti is necessary, right? So, tapasya, even if you don't have a lot of tapasya, it doesn't matter, Acharya Swamiji says. Because tapasya is a thing, everybody is capable of doing tapasya at different levels, right? Some people can be very austere and very controlled and very this thing. He says, even if it is doesn't have much of a tapasya, doesn't matter. But Guru Bhakti, Ishara Bhakti, bhakti is important and Shushrusha is important. Tapasya is not given that much importance, right? So, here, he is saying here that what is important, he is saying here, tatra bhagavati bhaktaya tapasvini shushrushave anasuyave cha vachyam shastram idi samarthyad gamyade. One who has got, Acharya Swami is saying here, one has got bhakti, right? And one who is a tapasvi. And one who has that shushrusha nature. And one who is free from envy, anasuyave vachyam shastram. You should give this to him. If he has got all this, you should give it to him. Says. Tatra, medhavine tapasvine va idi aneyo vigalpa darshanal shushrushaya bhakti yuktaya tapasvine tadyuktaya medhavine va vachyam shushrusha bhakti vimuktaya na tapasvine na abhi medhavine vachyam. If you have the desire to hear, if the desire is there inside, right, and he has got bhakti, then you should give it to him. Right? You should give it to him, he says. even if he doesn't have much intelligence, it doesn't matter, right? But if the shushrusha and bhakti is there, you should give it to him, medhavi, right? Even though he doesn't have much intelligence to understand it properly. Because this knowledge is not dependent on intelligence. That's the important thing. It's not dependent on intelligence. It depends on your power of shravanam. How shravanam is done. If the shravanam is good, this message will directly go into the center, to the place where it should go. Right? So, we have Madhyama Yuktoni Prasadena. Madhyama Prasadena Gurena Sabhala Suyate Phalam. Manda Madhyama Manda Adhigari. Manda Adhigari means one who is not very intelligent. Manda Buddhi. A little bit dull in mind. Then Madhyama Adhigari. That means he is not in the best. He is not Uttama Adhigari. Even then, if they are like that, even they will escape sometimes. If this knowledge goes in, they may escape, and there are examples of that with great personalities, right? Thotakacharya was like that. In the Acharya Swamiji was discussing Upanishads with his disciples, right? This Thotaka was a little dull-headed, one of his disciples. He does not have much of a knowledge of Shastram. And he could not understand many things when he was teaching Upanishads. Padmavada, Sureshwara, the top disciples, they were there, Hastamalika and all. They were listening very, they were all highly intelligent people, highly intelligent, right? They were listening very carefully. And they could absorb things. Thotaka could not absorb. So one day it so happened that Acharya Swami wanted to teach. And at that time, Thotaka wasn't there. Everybody else was there. So Acharya Swamiji waited for Thotaka to come. Thotaka has not come. Thotaka hasn't come. So he was waiting for him to come. Unfortunately, what happened was, the other disciple said, why do we have to wait for him? After all, he is not very intelligent. He cannot understand these things. It makes any no difference to him. Acharya Swamiji heard that. And he said, no, I will wait till he comes. Said. When Acharya Swamiji said that, he was washing his clothes in the river bank. Acharya Swamiji's clothes he was washing there at the river bank. Suddenly, he got a revelation inside from nowhere. And that is what Guru Bhakti means. That is devotion to the Guru. And he sang that famous song called Thotakashtakam. You can download it from the YouTube. And listen to it, see the beauty of that verses. It was sung by Thotakacharya. In the meter is called a Thotakam. Thotakam is a meter in the Carnatic music. And therefore it is called Thotakashtakam. And Thotakacharya sang that and came running from the river bank to the place where they were teaching to the, they were teaching in some hut somewhere they were sitting and they were teaching. He came running there singing this song. And Acharya Swamiji heard the song directly from him, that Thotakashtakam. It's a famous song. And the meter is so good and the way it's sung. Subbalakshmi sings that. And it's very famous, that song. And you can see what happened, that Acharya Swamiji says, Thotaka understands than any one of you more because of his bhakti. Bhakti was there in him. He had such a good degree of surrender. He, intelligence-wise, he was poor. But surrender-wise, he has beaten everybody. That is bhakti. That's the power of bhakti, right? So, such people, out of that Guru Bhakti, he escaped. He escaped because of Guru Bhakti. And Krishna Bhakti, you can say, he escaped. Not intelligent, but because of bhakti, he escaped, right? So, therefore, bhakti is more important in understanding Bhagavad Gita. So, that is why In the next verse, if you look, you will see this is spoken again. Another thing is that people will say, we don't have bhakti. We don't have bhakti towards Krishna, right? I'm studying Bhagavad Gita for research purposes. There are people studying Bhagavad Gita, for doing research on Bhagavad Gita, right? And they will calculate, how old is it actually? 2,000 years? 4,000 years? 5,000 years? In this way, and then they want to establish. Krishna is saying 5,000 years we have recorded in the Mahabharata and all. They won't accept that. They will have to do research and find out. Only then they will. This kind of mindset, right? What Shastram is saying, they can't accept it. Mahabharata, everybody knows 5,000 years ago. We say, we know which year is now Kali Yuga. Exact date, month, year, everything is known. It's easily available, right? No, they won't accept that. But this is all not coming from Oxford or Cambridge. It's coming from Himalaya, so it's not acceptable. This is their mentality, yeah? So, such people, and they will do research. They want to do research. You know all these people. There's lots of them like this, right? Then they will say, was it written by Vedavyas? Or was it written by Badarayani? Because some places, which Vyasa has written? Krishnadvaibhayana Vyasa has written? Or Badarayani Vyasa has written? And was it in the Mahabharata? And how did it get into Mahabharata? Things like that, right? Or was it written when Mahabharata was written? Or was it squeezed into the Mahabharata later? This is the research going on. Yeah, they can't trust Vedavyas, they can't trust Mahabharata, and they are doing research, right? Their question is that Mahabharata was written by Vedavyas, and Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the battlefield, saying, so was it that the Bhagavad Gita was written and inserted into Mahabharata later? This is his question, right? And then, who wrote the first commentary on Bhagavad Gita? Was it Acharya Swamiji or somebody else wrote the commentary on Bhagavad Gita, right? And this, what Krishna is talking about in Bhagavad Gita, is it Krishna's personal instructions or is it coming from somebody else? In this way, research, and then they will get doctorate on that, after that, right? And such people, you should not allow them to come to hear Bhagavad Gita. It won't work for them. Waste of time, right? And you should not give Bhagavad Gita to them and talk to them about Bhagavad Gita. When they have this doctorate, you know, in Shastram and Sanskritam and all that, you should not trust them any time because they are not devotees. Bhagavad Gita's qualification is that, yeah? Nowadays, especially in Sanadana Dharmam, you know, there's a lots of forces in this world who are trying to denigrate it. Yeah? And they pay money to people to do this kind of research and to find faults and mistakes and to write about it. And when people who have got doctorates and all, when they write, everybody will read. And there are so many forces working for this. It is a fact of life, yeah? And they are trying to destroy Sanadana Dharmam in this way. By using these people who have got doctorate, who has no faith in the Shastram, no understanding of Krishna consciousness, and giving them money, and they do research, and they write articles, and they publish in big, big journals and magazines, and ordinary people read that, and they become atheistic and like them. They become like that. That is this world we are living in. That's the world we are living in. You can always see this in the press, right? So and some of them, they have studied Bhagavad Gita like this, and then they will present the paper in big meetings. You know, they'll come with the paper, some special topic from the Bhagavad Gita they will choose and make a presentation out of that. And then if you ask any questions, they can't answer. because they have not understood Bhagavad Gita. They have studied it in this way, right? They got doctorate also in Bhagavad Gita, but they can't say anything, answer proper answers to that, right? So it should not be given. So bhakti, if there is no bhakti, this should not be given. That's the first requirement, right? And secondly, he's saying here that one who has got this prejudice and bias inside and envy. For example, people have envy towards a shastram. They have envy towards shastram. And they have envy towards a sampradayam system, right? And then they think that sampradayam system is all wrong. I have my own understanding, they will say. And they'll start making their own interpretations of the Bhagavad Gita, right? And they will twist the whole thing the way they want it. And such people, one should not entertain such people. Sampradayam is important. It does not matter which sampradayam, but sampradayam is important. Because great, great personalities has appeared in all the sampradayams. No sampradayam is fault. All great personalities. There may be differences in their understanding. That is another side. What Krishna has spoken. Only Krishna knows what he has spoken. Nobody else knows. 100%. What Krishna meant, everything. So, but great personalities who have established these different sampradayams, they also have deep understanding. Otherwise, they wouldn't have written that. So, whatever these people write, who are like this, that should never be read either. They'll keep saying something every time, one thing after the other. Many people will say like, but you should not listen to that. But their nature is, they will talk like this, and after some time, they've gone out, finished. Nobody cares anymore, because they have not approached Bhagavad Gita properly, so whatever they have written, kind of things people are coming up with is unbelievable with their research work. You know how much damage it has done. I was actually shocked when I heard something. What they were saying was, this is one, Islamic propaganda this is, right? They have started like this. They said, everybody has come to Bharat Bhumi from outside at different times. Even the Hindus, he says. So Hindus have not come to Bharat Bhumi from outside. Paramacharya says this, that the people always lived in this part of the world. Always. Nobody came from anywhere, he said. Because in order that they have done this, the Mughals came and done this, and to establish that this land does not belong to the Vedic culture, to prove that, they are saying, we are Hindus also have come from other places. Hindus didn't come from anywhere. There is no proof for that. Where did this come from? Because these Western historians, they have created a history like that. People have come to India from Iran and Aryavartam and all that. Where is the proof for all these things? And they have created this proof of Mohenjo-daro, Harappa and all that. And to establish that it was their civilization. So actually Indus Valley civilization exists in Pakistan, not in India. This is the kind of versions coming out now. And you know how bad it is. If you educate people in the wrong way, it's very difficult to take it out later. Whatever's gone in inside, it will stay like that. And so, use the schools as the opportunity, the school education. These people are the ones who are controlling the school education. And they write the books, and they make all this kind of principle into it. And those children, they don't have any respect for Bhagavad Gita after this. And because the problem, because of this, Bharata Bhumi always accepted people from all parts of the world. They came and lived there. Nobody said anything about it. But now because of this feeling strongly in their mind that they are outsiders, that feeling had come to the Muslim world. So therefore, they are saying Hindus are also outsiders. They didn't live in this world. They came from outside. So all this is a part of that propaganda to make somehow or the other to bring Vedic literature, Vedic culture, to bring it down at any cost. And there is a strong lobby doing this. And it's a big fight for those who want to survive this. But it is financed from outside. It is organized from outside. You can see Raj Malhotra in all writing this again and again. He is stressing this. This is coming from that. You can understand that, yeah? And you can see that in the YouTube and other places, Facebook, everywhere, right? Anyway, what I'm saying is that Bhagavad Gita is not for them. They won't understand. That kind of people won't understand, right? But they will come and they will go. It's not that they'll be permanent. They are, because of their hate and because of their political motives, they're doing all these things, right? You don't have to take it very seriously, right? Similarly, communists, they've done the same thing. They can go and study Karl Marx and other books. They can't study Bhagavad Gita. What kind of people are they? Imagine that, the mindset. You know, and you expect to listen to these characters. They can't study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, but they can study Karl Marx and there's so many other books, Angels, isn't it? Engels. Both are German philosophers, right? They wrote this Das Kapital. And these people, communist leaders, they speak from that book. As so like this, their Bhagavad Gita, it looks like that to me. But so, what can you do with these people? They're gone completely, lost it, right? So, but they will not survive. It will not last in this world. Bhagavad Gita lasted 5,000 years and it will stay. There will always be people who will study Bhagavad Gita. There will always be people who will want to understand the truth, right? So, there was one devotee, he was not a devotee actually, he was a very strong communist one. And this, his life changed overnight. It changed, right? He was a worshipper of Devi, Sri Parvati. He worshipped Sri Parvati very strongly. And he was a communist. And he would not accept the Shastram. But one day, due to some circumstances, Sri Parvati gave him darshanam. That day it changed. And the very next day, morning, he said, all his communist siddhantam, everything threw it in the bin, right? And many other communist leaders who came later, you may not be familiar with all of them, but there was quite a few communist leaders at that time who have broken away from Congress party. I'm saying little politics here to understand. And then they realized that he has left their camp. He was a good writer. You know, communists are very good in projecting their philosophy to others and make people feel good about it, right? Others also do the same thing. So, so one night, while he was writing an article for Communist Party, Sri Parvati gave him darshanam to him in writing, right? And the very next day, he threw away all the literature. Coming from a Brahmana family, ancestors were very good, well-trained, but somehow the other fell into this communist trap. And Sri Parvati saved him from that. And then he translated Devi Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything, right? And Saundarya Lahari, Shankara Vijayam, all these books he has translated. And he also, Vivekananda's complete books of Sahitya Sarvasvam. So a person who was a great acharya in the communist lineup, from that day onwards he could see him with the ashes in the forehead coming over, right? And he has lived his rest of the life totally committed to spiritual life. And his commentaries on Devi Bhagavatam is very famous. Subramanya Tirumum, his name is, right? So, all these things are not totally connected with it, but I'm saying that Bhagavad Gita has to face all these type of people. And they will abuse Bhagavad Gita in different ways, right? And we should not get frightened about all these things, because Krishna is saying here, whatever they say, their remedies and medicines has no value, right? So, asuya means that you have preconceived perceptions about things towards the Shastram, towards the Sampradayam, all that, right? Such people, similarly, people who are against Rishis, a lot of people don't like when you say, this is the Rishi Parambara who have given Bhagavad Gita, right? So they don't accept the Rishis. Similarly, there are people who are against Vedam, who don't accept the authority of the Vedam, right? And similarly, and it is, these people have always been there. time and again they will come. And they are the people who wants to promote cow slaughter. You see, people who promote the cow slaughter. They are these people who do all these things, right? And they were there all the time throughout the history. These people will come and they will gradually disappear. They won't be able to do anything to Bhagavad Gita. They will come and create trouble and then they will go. Nobody stayed permanently. It existed earlier also, not only now, it always existed before, right? So, and they have appeared in different places at different times, right? And you can see them in Puranams also, personalities like this, right? So it is no point in saying that and feeling bad, oh, only now it exists. Even in Puranam times they were there, asuras were there, right? And we have to look at properly what Krishna is saying and try to take the benefit of this Bhagavad Gita. So, and that is why Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you are very dear to me. Because you don't have that preconceptions in you, like they have got. You have accepted me, what I am saying, and you have surrendered to me, and therefore you are qualified. You have the bhakti. Therefore I am telling you, Krishna is saying that. So, therefore I am telling you what is benefit for you, and take this, and don't get distracted by anything, right? Let anybody say anything what they like, but he is saying here, ya idam paramam guhyam mal bhakteshu abhidasyati, 68th verse. Bhaktim mayim param krutva mama veshetya samshayaha. Ya imam yadhoktam paramam nishreya sartam kesha varjunayoho samvada rubam grandham guhyam gopyam mal bhakteshu mayi bhakti malsu abhidasyati vakshedi grantadaha arthadaha jastabhayishadi ityartaha yadha toyi maya. This discussion between Krishna and Arjuna in the form of a samvadam, right? It should be given to the devotees. Bhakte punagrahana tal bhakti matrena kevalena shastra sampradane patram bhavadi idi gamyade. Because bhakti has been spoken, simply with bhakti towards Krishna, kevala bhakti, and if it is studied in the guru shishya parambara, guru, spiritual master, disciple, in that way, one who has taken in that process, he will reach the goal. Katham abhidasyati idi uchyate. How should it be given? Bhaktim mai param krutva bhagavata parama guroho shishrusha maya kriyate idi evam krutva ityartha. Tasya idam bhalam mam eva eshyadi muchyade tava atra samshayo na kartavyaha kimcha. First qualification is that he has to feel that this is coming from Krishna. And Krishna is the Jagat Guru, isn't it? Vasudeva sagat vasudam devam kamsa chanura mardhanam devagi paramanandam Krishna mande Jagat Guru. Krishna is Jagat Guru, right? So, so because Jagat Guru is speaking, the listener must be extremely attentive. Shraddha should be there in the person. And he should always feel that bhakti in the heart to Krishna, because Krishna is giving it to us, this thing, right? And with that frame of mind, one should hear Bhagavad Gita. Not with the mind of evaluating what has been spoken by Krishna, right? If it is done like that, he will come back to me, he will get free from this illusion and become liberated, Krishna says. So, that is where it is. We will probably finish tomorrow this chapter. And we will see after that, tomorrow, everything. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.